deals with the dispute between the famous machlokes with Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. And in fact, as we discussed last week, the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos of in Pirkei Mishnah Yud Zayin, Kol machlokes shehi l'shem shamayim sofa l'hiskayim, any dispute that is l'shem shamayim is going to be lasting. If it's not l'shem shamayim, it won't. What's an example of a machloket l'shem shamayim? That's the machloket Hillel and Shammai, the two great rabbis. What's an example of machloket lo l'shem shamayim? That's Korach v'chol Hadasso. And we discussed it should be Korach against Moshe. Korach v'Hadasso neged Moshe. And the answer is because that wasn't, even Korach and Hadasso wasn't l'shem shamayim. They all had their own issues, and they just, it was a very superficial togetherness, a common enemy, but they didn't really share the same values. But Hillel and Shammai basically shared all the same similar values. It was just the disputes over specific areas. And they liked the other person. So this gives us an opportunity to discuss, what about learning l'shem shamayim? Talmud Torah l'shem shamayim. So there's people think, you know what? That the more difficult it is, well, there is an issue of amelis, but not difficult. But if you learn something less enjoyable, that's a greater mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And the Iglei Tal, in its introduction, writes, it's just the opposite. Many people make a mistake. They think that learning l'shem shamayim is learning something you don't want to learn. He says it's the opposite. It's something you enjoy. The geshmak of learning, that's the highest level of Talmud Torah. That's the l'shem shamayim. And in fact, the Taz writes in Hilchos Nedarim that he asks, how come the luck is, if you're hamode hana mechavero, if you say, I'm not going to get benefit from my friend, and he happens to be the Baal Tokei, he's blowing the shofar in shul, so the halacha is, you could use the Baal, you could listen to the shofar. But if you make a neder from your friend, you're not going to be able to use his svarim, his book, so then it's usher. What's the difference? So the Taz explains, based on the Gemaras tell us, mitzvahs lav l'hanos nitnu. We do mitzvahs when we shake the lulav, when we sit in the sukkah. It's a different type of hana, but it's not the hana that we're doing for our own personal use and benefit. And therefore, whatever it means exactly, but mitzvahs lav l'hanos nitnu on a certain level. But Talmud Torah, the whole purpose of Talmud Torah is l'hanos nitnu. It's to get benefit. So therefore, you can't use someone else's svarim because that's the purpose of it. And we have a similar halacha. We know there are different types of shomrim in the Torah. Parshas Mishpatim, Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, and a Shoel. You have someone who watches for nothing, a Shomer Chinam, he does you a favor. A Shomer Sachar, someone who gets paid to watch. And a Shoel, someone who borrows. And each one comes with their own responsibilities. A Shomer Chinam, who's just watching for nothing, he's doing you a favor. So as long as he's not negligent, then he's not responsible. A Shomer Sachar is getting paid, so he has a higher level responsibility. So even if it's stolen or lost, he's responsible. And a Shoel is even Chayev Ba'onsin, is even obligated if something happens out of his control. Why? Because Kol Hana Shelo, because all the benefit is his. So it's interesting, the rabbis point out that if someone is a Shoel and a Shofar, and then something happens on us, he's not responsible. But if he's watching Svarim books, Jewish books, and something happens, he is. Because mitzvahs lav l'hanos nitnu, the only reason a show is chayev, it's obligated because all the benefit is his. But there is no benefit by Talmud Torah. That is the benefit, and that's by Avraham Avinu lech lecha lahanascha. You think Avraham Avinu would be able to go ahead and leave his hometown and start building his own nation if he just, well, I really don't want to do it, but I feel like I have to do it. I'm forced into it. Then you're not going to be successful. To be successful in Limud HaTorah, you have to want it. You need the ratzon. That's why you call the Talmud Chacham. A Talmud, you're a student of Torah, of wisdom, because it's someone who always wants to learn. As the Kutzker always says, you know, someone says, I have no cheshek to learn. What should I do? So they say, you know, develop a cheshek. What happens? Someone says, I have no desire to eat. Obviously, the person has a problem. We have to get him some help, some nutritionist, get him on some pills. So if you have, if someone has no cheshek to learn, there's a problem that you have to deal with the issue. But the Shlomo HaMelech, the Chacham Mikol Adam, it was his ratzon, he wanted the trick to becoming a Torah scholar is you have to want it, the ratzon. And that's the enjoyment that's involved. And that's why they point out as well that that's the union of Talmud Torah L'Shem Shamayim. So Shammai and Hillel, who were involved L'Shem Shamayim, that was Torah. And the highest level of Torah L'Shem Shamayim is enjoying it, the geshmak of learning. So let's spend a couple minutes now discussing about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. What exactly is the mitzvah, and what does it entail? So the mitzvah of Talmud Torah has two parts. It's what we call the Maisa Halima, the act of learning, sitting here with the Sefer open, reading it. That's the, it's like you have a shake the lulav, you eat the matzah. Most mitzvahs have a Maisa, have an action attached to it. So to Torah, the act of talking, the act of reading, that's the Maisa Limud. However, there's a second aspect, and that is the Yediyas HaTorah. It's not just the act of learning, but it's what you keep, it's what you internalize, and what you use for later. You have to know the laws of Shabbos to keep Shabbos. You have to know the laws of kosher to keep kosher. So the two aspects is the Maisa Mitzvah and the Yediyas HaTorah. So the Beis HaLevi points out, that's why, based on Chazal, that when you're doing a mitzvah, so we say, when you're involved in the mitzvah, so the mitzvah protects you. But once you finish the mitzvah, that's it, like Tashmishe Mitzvah Nizrakin. Once you finish using the mitzvah, in a similar halacha, you could throw out. You could, you know, you do it derech kavod, but you could, but it's b'shas the time of the mitzvah, then it has its kedusha. But Talmud Torah protects you even after you stop learning. Why? Because you still have it with you. The Yediyas HaTorah stays with you. And you can just do crystallize the difference between the Maisa Limud and the Yediyas HaTorah. You can have a Maisa Limud, an act of learning without acquiring any knowledge. And you could also have acquiring knowledge without a Maisa Limud. Let's go discuss first, how could you have an act of learning without actually learning anything? So the commentators give different examples. The famous Gemara Menachas, one of the rabbis said, well, I know everything. I learn Kol HaTorah Kulo, whatever that means exactly. You learn Kol HaTorah Kulo. I know it all. Do I still have to learn? So they say, if the Pasuk says in Yoshua, V'gisi bo yoma v'layla, you still have to sit there meditating in Torah day and night. So we see, even that's an example, you're getting a Maisa Limud, the act of learning, even though in theory you know everything. Or, as the Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes and others, that he definitely says it by the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, it's a discussion by the other 24 books, that there's an inyan of this reading from the Chumash, even if you don't understand it. Like Tikkun Leil Shavuos, there's a Minhag Aman the Sfarim to read through the whole Torah, so even though you don't understand it now, at one point you will. But there's a, but according to the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and others, you get a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, or be a lower level mitzvah, but just by reading the Chumash. However, you're not getting any ideas because you have no idea what you're reading. You know Hebrew, you don't understand it. That's another example of the Maisa Limud without the Talmud Torah. And another example is the Gemara tells us in Kedusha, not only are you obligated to learn yourself, but you're obligated to teach your son. And what happens, Gemara says, if you want a Gordian Kola and your son does, who gets precedence? So the Gemara says, who called him with? No, you get precedence. Unless, of course, he has much more capabilities, he could be a much better learner. So what's the pshat? Because of Yediyas HaTorah. That you both have the same Maisa Limud, but since he could have more Yediyas HaTorah, that you let him learn in Kola. So those are examples of a Maisa Limud without Yediyas HaTorah. How could you have the other way? How could you have a Yediyas HaTorah without the Maisa Limud? Is that possible? How could you acquire knowledge without actually doing the act of learning? So that's what the Mefarshim point out. That's the katan. A katan, someone under 13. So he's not obligated any of the mitzvahs. It's only al tzchinach. So there's no maisa mitzvah. That's a whole discussion, but we're not going into it, whether the maisa of a katan counts or not. But the katan could... So even though he's learning, he's not mechuyev in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, so there's no chiyev of the Maisa Limud. However, he's acquiring the Yediyas HaTorah. He's going to need it when he becomes a gadol. Like there's a famous incident with the rugged shaver. We know there's a minug on Erev Pesach that the firstborn sons and some firstborn daughters, they fast. However, the minug is today is to have a siyam. If you finish a certain amount of part, you finish a Gemara, you finish a certain part of Torah, you can make a siyam and you make a party and you can eat. So the question was, they asked the rugged shaver, could a katan make a siyam? The only one who knew could, of course, the kasha on the story is, why didn't the rugged shaver make the siyam? Because he finished shas probably every week. But why didn't, I don't know. But the question was, so he answered, yes, a katan can. Because a katan, even though there's no maisa limud, but in minat Torah we recognize the Yediyas HaTorah because he has to acquire this to when he becomes a gadol, and that's what Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says. People, we know the Vilna Gaon knew mathematics, science. So when did he learn all of this? If he was learning all the time, so the Vel likes to say it was when he went to the bathroom, the washrooms, and then he read all his science books. But so Rav Yaakov said it's very difficult to say he was sitting there all day reading his books. So Rav Yaakov says, no. He learned all these things when he was a katan, because the girl learned Kol HaTorah Kulo, and they have well before 13. So he had an opportunity that he already had all the Yediyas HaTorah, whatever that means exactly, but he had a lot of them. And therefore, a katan is not obligated to be Gisibo Yom of Elayla. It's only Yatzchinach, and therefore that's when he read all his science and his math. So either way, we see a katan as an example where you could have a no maisa limud, no act of learning, or no halachic act of learning, but you still have the second aspect of Yediyas HaTorah. And in fact, that's how they explain, those are the two different aspects of the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. We know the Gemara talks about Moshe instituting Kriyas HaTorah, Ezra instituting Kriyas HaTorah, and they both instituted Kriyas HaTorah. So, what's the difference between Moshe's Takana and Ezra? So the Gemara tells us that there's two aspects, the Ragashava, Rav Moshe, there are two aspects. One aspect of Kriyas HaTorah is the Kabbalas HaTzibor. The congregation, the Jewish people, accept the Torah B'Tzibor. It's a Kabbalas Torah B'Tzibor. And that's a reenactment of Maimon Har Sinai. That was Moshe's institution. Moshe's original institution is a discussion. He instituted three psukim. So the question is, it's a discussion whether he instituted three psukim, three aliyahs, one pasuk each aliyah, or he only instituted one aliyah but three psukim. And then Ezra came along and he added to it. So there's an interesting machlokas, the Meiri and the Rif. A katan really, even though that's not the minug, that's not the custom, but a katan can get an aliyah, can get called up to the Torah. And in fact, Rav Moshe talks about in the context where it's not uncommon, the bar mitzvah boy prepares the wrong parsha. If he prepares the parsha afterwards, there's nothing to worry about. But even if he prepared, he's not bar mitzvah to next week, but he prepared the parsha this week, so Rav Moshe writes, you could give him one aliyah. So, Meikar Adin, a katan get an aliyah, our custom is not. So the Meiri writes, you only have to give a gadol one aliyah. and a katan could get six. The Rif says three aliyahs have to go to a gadol, and some say davka kohen levies are the first three, and then the rest could be given out of order to anyone. However, the other four could be given to katanim. So either way, according to the Meiri, you're having six out of seven to katanim. According to the Rif, you have four out of seven to katanim. What's going on here? What's the machlokas? So the Mefarshim explained is because that's the issue. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's takana? Moshe was a takana for Klai Yisrael. You have to be part of the tzibur to get an aliyah. A katan is not halachically considered part of the tzibur yet regarding this. And therefore, Moshe, according to the Meiri, Meiri only instituted one aliyah, three psukim. Therefore, the next six aliyahs is because of takanas Ezra. Why did Ezra institute make it longer? Because people felt it wasn't worthwhile to come in. They wanted to hear, wanted more Torah. So Ezra's takana was out Talmud Torah to learn more. So therefore, katan is shayches to Yediyas HaTorah. So therefore, he could get part, a katan is included in Ezra's takana, but he's not included in Moshe's takana. And the Rif says Moshe instituted the first three aliyahs, and hence only the next four he could get. So that's, so we see that again, that a katan is included, he's excluded from the tzibur Moshe Rabbeinu's takana, but within the issue of Yediyas HaTorah is included, hence that's why Katan could get an Aliyah and get Mafter. So out of the two, out of the Maisa Limud, the act of learning versus the Yediyas HaTorah, which one takes precedence? I mean, which one takes precedence? Why is it a choice? So in other words, let's say you have 6 hours to learn, and you could stay in your hometown and learn for 6 hours. You just go across the street and you go to the shiur, your Beis HaMedrash next door. Or let's say you have a Rebbe who lives an hour away, or a Chavrusa, where you're going to learn much better. So, but you're going to lose an hour each way traveling. So what should you do? Should you do an active learning for 6 hours? Do a Maisa Limud, but with less Yediyas HaTorah, but with less knowledge? Or do I learn for 4 hours and have more? So all the Gedolei Achron and Rav Aaron Kotler, Yisrael Salanter, Yishochan HaKarav all say Yediyas HaTorah takes precedence. Like we saw in the Gemara Kiddushin, that usually the father comes before the son. However, if the son is more capable, we say the son gets it. And that's how they explain. We know that Lach Yisrael let her leave Eretz Yisrael to learn by your Rebbe, because why? I usually, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael, but to acquire more Yediyas HaTorah, it's permitted. Or for Ben Azai, the discussion whether not getting married, because if him got married, he would require less Yediyas HaTorah. So we see, according to the Gedolei Achronim, Yediyas HaTorah takes precedence. So we see there are two aspects. There's the aspect of the Maisa Limud, the act of learning, as and there's the Yediyas HaTorah. The Beis HaLevi says that's why Torah is different than other mitzvahs, that it protects you even after the mitzvah. We had the Gemara Menachas that you learn all day, Vigisa Bo Yoma Malayla, and even if you still have a chiyuv to learn more, or like we said, reading the Chumash without understanding, or the Vilna Gaon learning science and math when he was younger. On the other hand, we have Yediyas HaTorah without Maisa Limud. That's the katan. That's the two takanas of Kriyas HaTorah. That the katan shayach to Talmud Torah. That's why he could get Ezra's takan. He could get called up for an aliyah. And that's why the Ragachava says that a katan can make a Ragachava says a katan can make a siyam. And that's the pshat that the machokes v'shem shamayim. That's the machlokas hill of a shamai, of learning for the l'man ha'emes, trying to strive for the truth. And that's what we said, learning l'shem shamayim means learning l'shma. The highest level is enjoying the learning, not forcing yourself. Of course, if the choice is not learning versus not learning at all versus forcing, of course you do that. That's how lo l'shma bo l'shma. But the highest level is to enjoy the learning. And the more you enjoy the learning, the greater geshmak it is and the greater mitzvah of Torah Lishma. And that's what we learn out from the Mishnah and Perkei Avos. Even though they also write, you better to do serve your Rebbe l'shem shamayim, but however, shelo l'shma, it takes time to get there, but the ultimate is Hillel and Shammai, who are the ultimate looking for the mana emes. So to Torah, the Iker is, as the Taz says, mitzvahs lav lahanos nitnu, however, Torah lahanos nitnu. The whole purpose of Torah is to get benefit, and that's why as well, that's the Iglai Tal, the whole Iker l'shma is the geshmak, is the enjoyment of learning. Very good, Sonny. Everyone misses you.